morning, Bucknutters. It is Thursday, June 18th, 2026. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change, joined by Garrick Hodge and Mark Porter. But I would be remiss if I did not wish a happiest birthday to my daughter. Today is her 21st birthday.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not done. She is spending the summer again dancing on Broadway, and New York has participated by today staging a giant parade in her honor for her birthday. They may also be celebrating some sort of athletic feat by the basketball team. Who knows? But if you're in New York City in the financial district, that's where the parade route goes, the Canyon of Heroes. Big tribute to Emma Rubin, and what a blessing. I know, Mark, you don't have a daughter, and I know that, Garrick, you don't have one yet. It is an absolute blessing, and you're going to lose a lot of sleep, kind of like recruiting. All right. Great day, and a beautiful day out today in the Gem City here and the Buckeye State, and we are talking recruiting camps. Normally, we would start with Garrick and get you the full, complete report on what is going on at Ohio State. And I will tell you this, if you were not a premium member getting Garrick's reports on these camps and basically Garrick's recruiting coverage, you are doing it wrong. I promise you this. His report from yesterday, I had to get a cup of coffee in between finishing it. Comprehensive doesn't do it justice. It's elite stuff. You're missing out. You're doing it wrong. I promise you. We cannot gather all that information for free on here, or we couldn't run a business. Do it right. Get over there and subscribe. All right. Now, Mark, once again, you are on the road. As people probably think, you are a fugitive if they tune into the show sporadically. You are not. You may have a quarterback in the car who's going to test the arm out again in front of interested coaches at Ohio State, but you spent yesterday at Penn State's camp. Mark's son is doing the tour. And what's very interesting is while you were there, there's obviously a lot of players Ohio State is recruiting that Penn State also has interest in. Some guys from Glenville, Tyzon Swan, the D.C. area, Maryland defensive end lineman we talked about the other day that camped at Ohio State, was in Penn State the next day. So, Mark, can you let us know what you thought of Penn State's camp? They got an Ohio guy in charge now. And who was there that we need to know about on the Buckeye recruiting scene?
Yeah, I hope you named this podcast Groundhog Day, because, you know, you woke up Tuesday and Tyzon Swan and Lucas Procht were at Ohio State, and I woke up on Wednesday and went to Penn State, and Lucas Procht and Tyzon Swan were at Penn State. And Glenville was at Penn State, and I wake up today, and Glenville's going to be at Ohio State. So I don't even know what day it is. I'm watching these kids multiple days in a row, which really gives you a confidence in what you're seeing. And we'll start with Tyzon Swan. You know, we watched his film on Tuesday. We got to see him at camp and I. And, you know, he had a good Ohio State camp. He's not as big as maybe we expected for a defensive lineman or a three technique. I think he was about 265 pounds, which for a high school kid's about right. But he does move really well for 265 when you put that into consideration. Yesterday at Penn State, he was the show. He really, you know, had a good day there. That, of course, Penn State liked him. Lucas Procht was at Ohio State or at Penn State, and he didn't work out. He worked out the day before, and I believe there is a 7-on-7 at Penn State today and a big man challenge where his school is going to be there. So he's got a couple days there to kind of work out and throw for them. But definitely, I don't want to, you know, make people sick about Happy Valley, but they're doing a good job over there. Matt Campbell, you know, his name was mentioned for Ohio State when the job was available, and there's a reason. He does a great job. That staff's hustling, and when you have the Glenville pipeline over to your camp, you know you're doing something right over there. And they talked about the Ohio kids that have made a steady flow over there throughout the summer. So we're going to have to watch for Penn State picking off players. And I didn't see all the offers coming from the Glenville, you know, bus tour yesterday to Penn State, but Jalen Edwards is the kid that we're probably going to watch today for Glenville. And if you know about him, he's the younger kid for Ohio State that's offered. And what put like bad information out about him is his height and weight on the internet was really low. And I mean, Garrick, what do you think he was listed at? Was it like 5'7", 160 or something?
It might have even been. It might have even been lower than that. I think 5'7" is about right, and it was like 145 somewhere around there.
It was a high school.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and it was an early weight. I'm here to tell you, that when I saw him yesterday, I was first time I've seen him in over a year. He's rocked up. Okay, that weight is old news. I kind of compared him, and the Glenville coaches kind of compared him to some of the former Glenville players. Shane Wynn was a punt returner that went to Indiana. This is a bigger, more rocked up version of that. He moved really well in drills. He's playing corner right now. I thought he might be like a slot receiver or something. I think he's really going to be diverse in high school. I don't know where he settles in college, though. I think they need him on defense to lock down people at corner. Extremely explosive. Kalon Bailey, he worked out at linebacker for Penn State, which I can expect him probably to work out at linebacker again. I don't see him as a college defensive end. I think that's a very fair assessment, even though he plays high school defensive end.
Right.
If you're a 4-3 team, he's definitely not an end for you. If you're a 3-4 and you're looking for an outside linebacker, yeah, now he's in play there and middle linebacker. Diversity is the word, Garrick, we've been using for players like this. He can do a little bit of both, but I think his body and his stature is more suited to be a middle linebacker. We'll see what James Laurinaitis does with him today. We're headed down now, like Garrick said, football camp supposed to start at noon, but there will be players working out around 10:30. So you'll get a glimpse of maybe a Kalon Bailey or maybe some other players that Laurinaitis has in there. I don't expect the Glenville kids to be at the early workout because there are so many of them. My son was at Penn State yesterday, and I told him, I go, you got to witness something that not a lot of people witness. And I said, the full power of Ted Ginn Sr. That bus tour got there, but you know what? That camp did not start until that last Glenville kid got registered. And I made a joke as my son was registering late with him because he was, you know, a little anxious, like, oh, we got to get out there and get started. And I said, do not worry. This camp will not start until Ted Ginn says it's okay for this camp to start, you know, jokingly. And then, of course, his players were registered and the camp started. So that is an awful lot of respect that, yeah, we're going to start about 8 minutes late because we're going to make sure Glenville is right. I mean, I think Glenville brought about 30 or 40 kids to camp.
It really is impressive. You know what? In our next life, we should probably do a documentary film of the summer and just follow Glenville around and then kind of get into what those kids are doing. Because I'm not saying it's unique that someone does that, but I would venture a guess that it's unique. Someone has done that for as long and consistently as Team Ginn has. This has been going, I don't remember when they didn't do the bus tour. You know what I mean?
And they do it.
They're so far ahead of the times when it comes to grouping everyone together. Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
And it's so professional the way they do it, and it's so streamlined. They pull up on the big-time buses, you know, like the charter buses, and they got the hotels, and they got things to do for the kids during the day, and they got rest days. I mean, it is a well-run thing. And they got, I don't know, there had to be 5 or 8 coaches from Glenville on the bus tour with other people to make sure it's chaperoned properly. There was a bus tour that didn't go so well last year for a school, and that school didn't play football last year. So you bring that many gentlemen on the road, and you know, I don't care if the Pope gave me a list of 20 of his, you know, most loyal disciples and said, take these guys on the road. Guys are guys, and when they go on the road, you know, when they get to their free time, they're gonna have fun, and sometimes fun can get you in trouble. But they've been doing this with class for a lot of years, and I tell you what, they introduced Ted Ginn yesterday, and they said something like he has over 250 Division I players to his credit. And I don't know who took the time to count that up over the years, but that number might be low. every year he's got about 10 or 12 kids times how many years? 10, 20 years. So hats off to him and the respect he gets out on the road. And the way he's raising young men is what he's most proud of. I mean, he sat there and talked to me about his 2030 class and 2029 class for 20 minutes, like they were the crown jewel. I mean, there's players coming up, guys, that I could bore us to death with right now.
He really is a godsend for both that community and the Buckeyes. So that's wonderful. All right, Mark, we're going to let you go. It's funny. This post came up Mark 10-2, LOL. And I thought to myself, did Mark predict Ohio State to go 10-2 somewhere? And they're laughing at him. Then I realized, no, no, no. Like my dad said, hands at 10-2 on the wheel, sir. 10-2. Please be careful.
It's funny. Like, do as I say, not as I do is kind of my been my thinking the last couple of days.
Yes.
My poor kid had a three-day basketball camp where they played 34 games, and then I take him to Penn State to go test yesterday. He's going to go to Ohio State this morning and then Miami of Ohio tonight. So three camps in less than 24 hours. I would tell every parent that is the dumbest thing you could ever do. Do not do it. But we have a method to our madness here, and you know we're trying to get around and meet people and shake hands. But what a wild ride for the Porter family this summer.
I would say this. I will bet you many years from now, you and DJ will look back on this very fondly for your father-son bonding time. You'll be, what, in a big mansion outside Cleveland when he's quarterback of the Browns, and you'll be on gravy train. So we can all look forward to that. Mark, drive carefully, 10-2. Thank you.
There you go.
Man, all right, you curse DJ with being the quarterback for the Browns? That's just mean.
Oh, that's so funny you say that. That is Browns football in a nutshell, people. You try and give someone a compliment for making it to the absolute pinnacle, and then there is the Browns. Shocker from a Bears fan. But we digress. All right, I'm going to answer a digressing question to start here. Shocker is about my family, and then we'll move on after that. The question is from Jason Moorfield. Hey, DR. Slight digression. Are you worried about the Rubens records getting broken by the wasty kid at the at Oakwood? Also, blah, blah, blah. Live show at Kramer's, and we will pack it out with Buckeyes. Kramer's is just a local bar in Oakwood. I'm not worried because it is inevitable. Andrew Woosty is going to be a sophomore at Oakwood High School. He's already, in my opinion, probably going to be the best player to ever play there. I had a very strong opinion about the last person I thought about that, who was my son. And actually, a lot of my son's records have already been broken by Will Maxwell, who plays at UD, the scoring record. But my son does hold the single season scoring record, and that is going down this year from Drew Wastey. He is big time. It's the best recruit Oakwood's ever had. You will see him in Division I at some point. And everyone says, oh, he's going to leave Oakwood. We shall see. I doubt it. All right, there you go. Will he break I think my younger son holds the assist record or close to it. He's going to have a harder time breaking that one. Digression over. All right. So now you know my basketball, and my daughter's 21, and I'm going to get a lot of complaints about my hair. So it's just the Dan Rubin experience here. We move on. I probably won't talk again for the next, we'll see. Garrick. I asked you this earlier before the show. There was so much content in the report you put out, from Brady Edmonds to Christopher Vargas to Jameer Brown and Brady Edmonds hooking up to the litany of dudes who were here. I'm going to let you just cook at this point. You can give out the information however you see fit. I will say that let's probably start with quarterback just because it's the sexiest. And you had two guys really kind of in focus there. Let's do a Christopher Vargas, Brady Edmonds start, and then we'll just sit back and let you cook.
Yeah, sure. So two quarterbacks were in focus yesterday at Ohio State 7-on-7 camp for entirely different reasons, right? So Christopher Vargas is a 6'4", 175-pound prospect out of Massachusetts. He is rated the number 5 overall prospect in the country in the 2028 class and the number 2 overall quarterback, certainly in contention for both the number 1 overall prospect and the number 1 overall quarterback in that cycle, right? So Chris is definitely on the short list in terms of top-of-the-board targets for Ohio State in that cycle. There's a lot of other good 2028 quarterbacks that Ohio State's looking at. Mark mentioned Lucas Brock. He's certainly up there. And then there's a couple others on the short hit list. But speaking with Vargas, Ohio State, when they host these camps at 7-on-7, don't traditionally let national 7-on-7 teams in. They usually keep it very high school centric. But for whatever reason, yesterday, they kind of threw that rule out the window and allowed 24K, which is a national 7-on-7 team based in Florida, there. And by the way, if you really wanted to know who Christopher Vargas was throwing to yesterday. It was some guy by the name of Jameer Brown, who
maybe that's why they let the team play.
Yeah, perhaps. Who, as we know, is a pretty good player committed to Ohio State already in the 2027 recruiting class. The very first play from scrimmage that Vargas did yesterday was a long touchdown pass to Jameer Brown. So it was a very easy lead. Like, is that a future Ohio State connection, Vargas to Brown? We shall see. Obviously, Brown will be at Ohio State in his career. It's yet to be determined if Vargas will. But my initial impressions of Vargas, I thought he was very clearly a steady elite pocket presence. I got some questions about his mobility yesterday. I wouldn't say he's very quick by any stretch of the measure, but he's definitely not a statue back there. 7-on-7 is a very poor setting to evaluate someone's elusiveness, because obviously there's nobody rushing you. It's 7-on-7. There's no trench play, right? But yeah, his footwork was clean. From his film, he's elusive when he needs to be. He can throw on the run well. And this is a guy that continues to check all the boxes for Ryan Day and Billy Fessler, along with some other guys they're evaluating. It's kind of interesting because who knows when they'd like to take a quarterback commit for 2028, because quarterback recruiting, as you know, Dan, always goes a lot quicker than every other position. But for reasons that we're about to get into, I wonder if Ohio State might be a little gun shy to take early commitments in the future. Because I don't think they want to be in the situation that they're in right now. They obviously don't want that to play out as much as they can. So maybe they'll take this fall and really evaluate where their board sits entirely. Maybe a quarterback tries to commit this summer. Maybe he doesn't. And maybe Ohio State lets the board fall out naturally. But it's definitely, if you were to have me handicap it right now, I would put Vargas number one in terms of Ohio State connections for 2028. But that's certainly in pencil and not in ink. But really impressed by him yesterday. And in case you were wondering, I usually never write about who actually wins these 7-on-7 tournaments because, frankly, it doesn't matter. I had this conversation with like 7 different high school coaches yesterday. Like, you know, I really like watching this because it's fun. It's something to evaluate in June. It's fun football, but it's not real football, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's only so much you can glean from a setting like this. But anyway, 24K team, the Vargas to Brown connection actually won. They ended up beating DeSales and RJ Day in the championship. So fun day all around. But the second quarterback that we'll mention is Brady Edmonds, who is starting his week-long journey in Columbus that will be very pivotal in towards of determining his future. Brady was on the house team for Ohio State. They won all their pool play games. And, I mean, listen, this is the setting that Brady cooks in, right? He made the short, the intermediate, the long passes with ease. That's never been a problem with Brady. He's always had the arm talent. He's always had the accuracy. He's always had the composure. And I'll be honest, I was very impressed with how Brady handled the off-the-field situation. There is a large contingent of Ohio State media that wanted to speak with him for obvious reasons, because it's sort of the elephant in the room right now with Ohio State recruiting of are you guys going to work this out? Are you going to go your separate ways? Are you going to go to UCLA? And he got a lot of fastballs, and he took every one of them in stride, and he handled himself like a quarterback always should in these situations. I've said from day one that regardless of what school gets Brady, someone's getting a hell of a leader and a hell of a charismatic individual. So he's going to have a big following wherever he goes, just of how he carries himself off the field. But in terms of answers, there aren't really a whole lot right now, because Brady doesn't even really know a whole lot right now. He said that he wants to get into some questions with Ohio State this weekend. He wants to know what exactly the plan is with the two quarterback class. He wants to know what their plans are for that. He wants to know what their plans are for him individually. And then obviously everyone wants to know, well, what about the timeline? Is there a vision in mind for when you'd like to make a final decision? And he said, well, not really, but ideally I'd like to wrap this up as soon as possible. So maybe we see something imminent after the vision, whether it's he flips to UCLA or he reaffirms his commitment to Ohio State, depending on how the answers to his question goes, because he said that how they answer his questions will obviously determine a lot of his thinking. But for me, reading in between the lines, the ball seems in Ohio State's court here. I think this is a kid that's always wanted to be at Ohio State. He even said yesterday that he never thought he would be in this position, to where he was questioning his recruitment when he committed early. This wasn't what he was planning, right? So I think the ball's in Ohio State's court. If they want Brady in, I think that this is very salvageable and they can make amends, and he will be every bit the leader that he's been in the 2027 class before. If Ohio State views their evaluation isn't as strong of him as it once was, and if it isn't, they'll be very upfront about it, because that's usually how Ohio State operates. But I'm sure they'll let him know, and they'll continue their search for another 2027 quarterback into the fall, and Brady will have a decision to make from there. But it will definitely be fascinating to speak with Brady again on Sunday once the dust kind of settles and he gets more of a clear picture on where everything sits with him. But this isn't the first time that Ohio State has second-guessed its evaluation of an early quarterback, of course, over the years of quarterback recruiting. So I think that Brady is both, like we said, a very charismatic, a very field general persona, and he also has a hell of an arm. There have been some questions about his mobility, and he answered those with, well, I've been hurt for the past year, and I'm finally healthy for the last month. So I guess he also kind of wants to get out. He will be at camp today, too. So that's another data point that we'll get in our camp recap, and maybe he can show off a little bit more mobility than he has over the past year, because he says he's been hampered by an injury. So honestly, this is just a very fascinating situation, and I'm eager to see how it plays out going forward.
I have no inside information on this, but my guess is this will be resolved next week. I doubt you get any kind of, if he's going to stay with Ohio State, I'm not saying we're going to have any kind of an announcement or like that, but I do think he and his family are going to leave Ohio with clarity. And if that clarity is this flight is a one-way ticket out, back to California, my guess is he'll be committed to UCLA by the middle of next week. That's my prediction. But I hope he stays with the class. Like you said, if anyone watched the interviews, the way I would say is very comfortable in his own skin. You know, we say things like wise beyond his years or maturity. This is, you can tell he's been interviewed many times and that he's not intimidated by the crowd. It might help that he's taller than everybody. He's always looking down on those being interviewed. I'm not kidding when I say that. I think it's a little bit of a advantage when this huge scrum of dudes come up and you see Brady in person. He's a big dude. He's not, I mean, he's a big, like they talk about quarterbacks, he's a bigger human being. So, more power to him. I also very much respect the fact that he's come back out for the same drill, come back to take on all comers again. We talked about this. He was here for over a week last year. So whatever, he's a class act. And like you said, some program's going to get a really good quarterback. Will it be at Ohio State? We shall see. And as one of our fine users posted up here, LV Buckeye, Emory Jones, Dwayne Mathis, Jack Miller, Tate Martell, Danny Clark. It was the kid from Texas who went to Baylor eventually. It's like quarterbacks are a revolving door in modern recruiting. So that is good stuff from Garrick and a complete review. And like Garrick said, the story goes on. He'll be there today. And my guess is when Brady speaks today, the scrum will be equally large of the media. Okay. Anything else that happened yesterday you feel the people need to know? Let's talk about guys maybe who caught Ohio State's eye, the new offers, or guys who were offered that they kind of had the red carpet rolled out for, and what you thought of them.
Yeah, I'll give you one more guy from yesterday in terms of at the camp, because I think it was kind of a mini celebrity sighting. And by mini, I mean that people didn't know he was a celebrity until they saw him work out in person. And if you don't know who I'm referencing, it is Elijah Newman Hall, who I feel is often forgotten about for how good he is. He is the 2028 Ohio State running back commit from Florida, an IMG Academy standout. He is the number 75 overall prospect and number 3 running back in the 2028 recruiting class. So Elijah Newman Hall yesterday is working out with Carlos Lachlan, was supposed to be on campus on Tuesday, ended up getting in on Wednesday. He'll be back at camp today. And I just see from the corner of my eye that there's some 7-on-7 teams that are kind of peering behind the curtain, because the way that the Woody Hayes Athletic Center is structured is it's divided by curtains sometimes. And guys are just kind of hanging out in between sessions, like right in that like staging area. And then they see this really big 215-pound running back that's very fluid with his movements go through the running back drills. And everyone's kind of peeking in like, who is that guy?
Yeah, they pull the elite guys, I put that in air quotes, into like a private workout. So you go from outside to inside. It's kind of like being knighted.
Correct. And the funniest thing that came from that is an Ohio high school coach who will remain nameless because I don't want to throw the guy under the bus. But he came up to me and he was like, "That's Bo Jackson, right?" And I was like, No, that is not Bo Jackson. That is Elijah Newman Hall, and he's not even a 2027. He's a 2028. And then he turned and looked at me, and he was like, "That's a 2028?" And I was like, "Yes, sir."
Welcome to Ohio State.
He went and told his team, "Guys, that's a 2028." And everyone was like, "What?" So that just kind of gives you an indication of the guys that Ohio State recruits and the talent level that the Buckeyes standard is. And I mean, everyone knows that, but it's just another thing to see it with your own eyes and see the reactions of people who are supposed to be his peers, even if they're maybe not exactly in the same caliber of recruiting. Right. So last thing I'll say on him, had the opportunity to speak with his father a little bit, and Elijah's story in general was he committed to Ohio State at this time last year, and it caught everybody off guard because
so early.
Yes, we got the notification that a 2028 running back who was heading into his sophomore year just committed to Ohio State, and all of us just kind of went, "What the hell? What? Okay, I guess." And so we asked around, like, "Is this a legit commitment? Are we being punked?" And they said, "Well, no, it's a real commitment." And we kind of just filed that in the back of our brain, like, well, okay, we've seen early commitments that kind of subside, whatever. But Elijah has to be one of the most locked in commitments I've seen at this point in his recruitment for somebody who's out of state. His father was telling me that I was obviously at midnight earlier this week on Monday, 2028s were permitted to be contacted directly from colleges across the country, coaches, et cetera. And obviously his phone didn't stop ringing off the hook, and Elijah just has no interest in speaking to other schools. He's made it very clear where he wants to be. He wants to play for Carlos Lachlan. He wants to play in Ryan Day's offense. He wants to play at Ohio State. That's why he committed as early as he did. I would understand it if fans remain skeptical in the modern recruiting era when they hear that. There would be crazier stories that we've heard if this ultimately doesn't work out. But I take the family at its word. They were very sincere when they were speaking that to me yesterday, that Elijah Newman Hall wants to be a Buckeye. And listen, David Gabriel George is a very massive recruitment for 2027, and all eyes will be on that leading up to a month from now when he ends up committing to either Ohio State or Tennessee in July 22nd. But either way, they have a really damn good running back coming in 2028 already, who's going to be one of the top running backs in the class. And as knock on wood, right, he appears to be as locked in as you could be at this point.
Like I said, the fact that if this was a few years ago, an early commitment from Florida, we would be castigated for putting any value in that. But I don't know, man. I think that's that's on the docket. All right, who else do we need to know about from yesterday? If not, let's flip the page to who you want to see today.
You know what? We can talk about something that happened yesterday, but it wasn't someone who committed. It was someone who committed, not someone who camped. And that is a Florida cornerback by the name of Jaden Curry. To introduce you, if you guys are just hearing his name for the first time, he is a 5'11", 175-pound prospect from Fort Lauderdale. He is the high school teammate of Wyatt Smith from St. Thomas Aquinas. And yes, he is the alma mater of Nick and Joey Bosa. So
and Damon Arnett.
Yes. So
and Michael Irvin.
I had to get those in there. But Ohio State beat out Miami and Auburn for his commitment. We kind of knew that one was trending that way after his official visit on June 5th. We made no bones about it that we thought that Ohio State was likely going to be the pick, and obviously that was the case. I'd say that he profiles best as a nickel. I'm going to read you this scouting report on him, and you tell me your impression, Dan. All right, I'm going to run through this as quickly as possible. A potential green dot on defense with his football IQ and overall maturity. Spent much of his junior campaign working on the outside for Florida's 5A champions, but skill set might be better suited for a nickel or low safety role in college. Vigilant in zone looks with his active eyes and play recognition, sticky on one-on-one situations with his quick feet, and will get to the catch point. Spirited in run support and flashes impressive stopping power on the perimeter, constantly looking to generate takeaways and will do whatever it takes to win games. Might not be the fastest or the biggest defensive back, but has what it takes to emerge as an integral part of a Power Four secondary. Dan Rubin, your thoughts on that assessment?
Well, I know Andrew Ivins knows his stuff. Sounds like he's like the poor man's Caleb. Shocker, Caleb's doing very well now. But I do like Carey too in terms of big time program, huge expectations when you play down there. And we're not going to call St. Thomas Aquinas a pipeline, but it needs to be like a, whether if you're a traveling salesman, they're a firm client. They're always on your route. Always love taking a guy from there. And it looks to me like someone that Tim Walton has kind of picked out that he really likes. Anytime someone's ranking is not super, super high, you know they see something in him. And you rely on the Buckeyes for doing that. And very optimistic about him. I like also how the fact that it was kind of a clean recruitment. We thought he was coming. He's coming. And now they can go on to the next. I really like what they're doing at corner. Good week at corner for 2027 for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Pairing him with Deontay Malone, who could feasibly play outside, could play inside, is athletic enough and lengthy enough to play wherever you want to put him. It's a good pairing. We'll see where things are at with Monsana Tupert Jr. Last I heard is that he's committing with CBS Sports on July 1st. Ohio State still feels pretty good about that one, so we'll see how things play out. Last I heard, Ohio State was trying to get him to not go on his Michigan visit this weekend. We'll see what happens there. I know they were scheduled to speak with him on Tuesday. Haven't gotten the full scoop on whether he's going to end up taking that trip or not, but the moment I do, I will certainly let the Bucknutters know on Bucknuts. But, yeah, assuming they get that trio, the strategy is going to be go into the fall very content with where you sit at cornerback and try like hell to flip Gabriel Osborne Jr. from Oklahoma, right? So, and if they can't do that, then I think that they will look for somebody with a outside corner profile skill set in the transfer portal. So
they've also been, yeah, but they've been really good also at identifying guys who blossom in their senior year. I think a lot of times people think Ohio State doesn't do that. They've done a good job recently of doing that. So I'm confident they'll be able to flesh out corner perfectly if Torbert isn't there. I would also guess, and you can tell me I'm wrong, if he doesn't go to Michigan, I'm going to get out the pencil and put him in the class.
Yeah, I think that this is an Ohio State Michigan battle. I think that Indiana is still doing their due diligence because he was a former Indiana commit, but I think that ship has sailed. Maybe Kurt Cignetti will prove me wrong and make me look like an idiot, but right now, I think that ship's kind of sailed. I think Ohio State feels pretty good about where things are at, but obviously got to get the verbal before you feel confident about it, right? So we're a couple weeks away from that. You asked about who looks interesting today. Brady Edmonds obviously will be camping again. Elijah Newman Hall will obviously camp again. Glenville's coming, so the big name that I'm watching there is Kalon Bailey, who has a June 25th commitment date. I believe if he keeps that commitment date that he is likely to still be in Ohio State's class, even though he is fielding some very interesting opportunities from other schools, to phrase that in a delicate manner. But I think his official visit went really well, and I'm obviously very curious to try to catch up with him today and kind of see where things are at as he hopes to make a decision a week from now. So let's see, who else? We've got
questions about Jet Harrison. There's been some buzz in the recruiting community about him. Of course, Jet Harrison, the wide receiver from a family that knows how to catch footballs, long rumored to be an Ohio State big-time target. Your thoughts on Jet Harrison, or are we still waiting for that one to develop?
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought that Jet would end up at Ohio State. It's very difficult to say anything with confidence about that recruitment because the Harrisons are notoriously very private. So when you get info regarding them, you have to be very careful about where it's coming from and, you know, who exactly knows what their mindset is. Now, if Jet is there, and I haven't been told that he is, but obviously surprise visitors show up at camp all the time, I will let you guys know on Bucknuts. I will be there. Let's see. It's 8:45 right now. I should be there pretty close to 10 or 10:30. So if Jet is there, I assure you guys, I will let you know within the next couple of hours. You have my word on that.
I imagine Cortez Hankton is going all in on Jet Harrison. I mean, all in, because he's one of those guys that if you have him committed, he makes your job security much stronger. He's that good. You know what I mean? There'll be times when guys, I mean, look, Cortez Hankton's filling some big shoes. We knew he's going to be under pressure here, but it'd be very nice for him to have him in the quiver moving forward. That'd be very good stuff. All right. We are getting questions about Marcus Fakatu, who's also rumored to be committing on July 1st. This is the defensive lineman from Sierra Canyon. Ohio State has been very much involved in his recruitment. His teammate Cassie Curry, defensive tackle, they also were going after, has verbally committed to Texas. Rumor has it Fakatu may be down to a similar decision of Ohio State versus Texas. Your thoughts, and what do you feel about July 1st?
Yeah, I did hear yesterday that July 1st might be the commitment date, but again, put that in pencil, not in ink. That's where some connected to that recruitment think that it may be. I would say, based on the vibes I asked a little bit yesterday, I would say that the Buckeyes are cautiously optimistic about their chances of landing Marcus. I think Texas is probably the strongest competitor. I think that Texas will be very competitive in the modern recruiting element of this. And I think Ohio State will be competitive in the modern recruiting element of this. I think that Marcus really wants to play for Larry Johnson. I know that sometimes Larry gets heat on the recruiting trail, but he still has that gravitational pull for a lot of elite defensive line recruits, and Marcus is certainly one of them. If you guys want to whet your appetites for more Marcus content, he put out a 25-minute video of kind of behind the scenes of his official visit. It's on YouTube if you want to go look for it. Some great stuff. And my biggest takeaway from that is how involved Ryan Day was in that visit and how many times you saw him appear on that video. So they're making no bones about how big of a priority he is for Ohio State. If I do my weekly, if I were to predict right now segment and I picked Ohio State for Marcus, I would still hold true to that today. I think most of the recruiting industry agrees with me that Ohio State is the projected destination for Marcus. And if he, in fact, confirms that July 1st commitment date, I think that things are trending in the right direction. But again, cautiously optimistic, and you never know what happens 48 hours to 24 hours before these things. So stay diligent, my friends.
I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure he did not put out a vlog of similar length for any of his other visits. So I'm going to read the tea leaves a little bit there. That would be tremendous. And what a defensive line haul they'll be putting together if they get Marcus to verbally commit. All right. Let's do this correctly. You got an hour, excuse me, you got a minute and 30 seconds free time here. We'll chat. Garrick is headed out to campus. Like he said, you need to follow. There'll be a live thread on Bucknuts. You must be premium to get his insights during the day. You can follow him on social media as well, and he'll be back with a report after that. Like I said, if you are not subscribed and you're not getting Garrick's real good stuff, you are doing it wrong. Have a good one. Nutters of fire.